This morning, I'd like to give us a challenge for the new year from a fairly familiar passage in the Bible, from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You'll remember that the 12th chapter obviously comes right after the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter has just listed for you all the people that have gone before you. And it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's a passage that's known as the Hall of Fame of those who have gone before us in the Christian life. And then comes this great challenge for us where it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. The world seems to tell us that if you want to make it in life, you need to be rich, you need to be powerful, you need to be beautiful. You need to make it by every standard that is out there. In fact, every source of media, most movies, most TV shows seem to tell us this. But it's not only that, it's our very actions as we look to the economy. Let's take the idea that most people strive to be beautiful. Do you know that the cosmetic industry is an $84 billion a year industry? The health food industry, and I think this statistic was a little low, says that we spend on average on health foods $3.17 billion. The fitness and exercise industry is $80 billion a year. In fact, there's nothing we won't do to look beautiful. And then, we want to be the smartest. Now, I was a little shocked. Thankfully, I'm 2 years away from this. But I read that the average university, according to topuniversities.com, is that if we want to get educated, we want to get smart by the world standards, it's $6,571 a year for an undergrad. That's crazy. And then we want to have it all. The average debt per person is $22,000 apart from mortgages. We want to have it, and we're willing to go in debt to have it all. And then we want to be popular, so we want to dress right, we want to look right, we want to hang around the right people, because then maybe we'll find the right person, we'll be able to get married, and according to the world standards, we'll have made it. Have you ever noticed that we get so obsessed with being better than everybody else, that we just want to make it, that we get so distracted on what really matters in life, and I think we get lost. What if in 2018 we looked at life a little bit differently? What if our top priority was to look and to be like Jesus? Because the reality of the matter is, you can't go in two directions at the same time. You can't be in two places at the same time. In fact, people who say that you can even multitask effectively always do two jobs that are really half done, and no job is ever done at 100%. Nobody can effectively multitask. That's not how we're created. And the same is true in faith. We're either driving our lives toward Christ or we're driving away from Christ. So I want us to stop this morning as we begin this new year and to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what do you really want to live for in 2018? because it's going to affect what you think about and how you think. It's going to affect what you believe and what you don't believe. Because each of us in 2018 are going to go down a path of life, and it's going to have twists and turns, and we're either going to crash or we're going to learn how to navigate the twists and turns, even in the bumps in the hills of the road. And here our author says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Here's the cool thing, is when our eyes are on Jesus, they're not on the world. But when our eyes are on the world, they're not on Jesus. And so he says this, run the race. Ever notice how sometimes we run life and the Christian life like it's a 100-yard dash? But as you look to anyone who's ever gone before you, they'll tell you that this life of faith is a marathon. And we're all running it. And what the author wants us to hear as we read through these three verses is that the author and the perfecter of our faith will give you the strength, will give you the courage, will give you whatever you need to run this life and to run it well. And he tells you three things that I think can revolutionize your life. Here's the first one. He says, if you want to run the Christian life effectively, listen. Hear the story of chapter 11. Hear the story of Abraham, of Moses, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Rahab, of Esther. Hear the story of a few of our own. Hear the story of Gail Fry, of Rose Kessler, of John Smith. Hear their stories of the faithfulness of God, how God carried them through. That even on their deathbeds, they could say, it's all in God's plan. I think of Eric the swimmer, Masabi, of the Equatorial Guiana. He was invited to the Sydney Olympics. He should never have been there. He didn't qualify because of his ability or his time. But every so often, the International Olympic Committee invites people from poorer countries to have the opportunity to experience the Olympics. Eric had at most swam 50 meters. He had learned to swim in a pool that was only 20 meters long. There was never anybody else in the pool. And now he was in the 100-meter dash. His face had never needed to or had been in the water when he began to swim. The two swimmers that he was to swim with were disqualified. And so there he was, never having done a 100-meter swim before, never putting his face in the water or needed to. Swimming the 100-meter. He was already a minute behind the time that you were allowed at the Olympics. People thought he was going to drown. He was flailing, trying to even just survive. But then something happened. As he got closer to the wall, the crowd began to stand and began to clap. He made it to the wall, barely surviving. And as he began to compose himself in his broken English, and he says, I want to send my thanks to the crowd because they're cheering that helped me finish. Do you hear it this morning? Do you hear the Moseses and the Abrams and the Esthers and the Roses and the gale saying to you this morning, keep on going. Keep on running. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You won't be disappointed. We've run the race. We've finished the race. Keep on running.
Keep on running, friends. You can finish too.
I don't know about you, but I need those who have gone before me. I need to hear their stories. I need to hear how they finished. And it gives me the strength, and I hope it does too, to pick up and carry on and to hear those stories of faith. You want to run the race of faith in 2018. The book of Hebrews says, listen to the stories of faith. But then he says something very profound. Throw off anything that hinders you from running the race. Maybe it's that desire to be beautiful. Maybe it's that mindset that we got to be perfect. That we got to have it all together. That we got to be smart enough. That we need to have the nicest home, the nicest possessions. Maybe that's what we're called to throw off this morning. But as I look to the Hebrews, I look to our own story and I see a very striking similarity. Is sometimes we're not motivated. Have you ever done something in life where you really needed somebody to push you? Many of you know that I'm trying to get slimmer, build more muscle, and I'm trying to exercise. And I'm saying this partially for accountability as well. But if it wasn't for the fact that I had to sign in every day, knowing that there were a few people that were going to be able to see whether I did my exercises or not, and then somebody to check up on me, and then four people at home making sure I did it, I probably wouldn't do it, because the motivation isn't even really there. I simply want to do it, but it's not so deep within me that it's, I gotta. Ever need that encouragement? I think the most striking example for me was when I was dating Carmen. I always knew I wanted to be a minister. But then came the final 21 oral examinations. And I was ready to quit. But there, every date, I don't know how she put up with me, but every date, we walked around in every point of theology, Old Testament study, New Testament study, ethics, church history, church polity, history of missions, counseling, and a whole bunch of other things. Question after question after question. Carmen would ask me, and if it wasn't for her, and God prompting and bringing her into my life, I probably wouldn't be here. I think like the Hebrews, the same thing happens in our Christian life. Is, you know what? I'll get serious about my faith later. I have 40 or 50 years. Because the Hebrews didn't think Jesus was coming anytime soon. There was no need to get serious about walking in faith. There was no need to get serious about studying what we now know as the Bible. There was no seriousness about being holy, about devoting ourselves to prayer, to walking in obedience. Because, man, they had their whole life ahead of them, and Jesus was going to come in a little while. But what if? What if, as we look at 2018, we were to know that Jesus were coming back within 5 years? Would that affect what you make as your top priority? Would it make it more serious for us to get serious about prayer, about Bible knowledge, about worship, about service, putting off those things that get us so distracted from following Jesus and actually start following Jesus? What might God be calling you to throw off this morning? Because then he goes on, let us throw off anything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Perhaps it's pride, it's stubbornness, it's impure thoughts, it's selfishness. They're getting in the way from running the Christian life. R.C. Ryle, in his book Holiness, writes, "I am your enemy, and I want to ruin you forever in hell." We don't often think about that, do we? But ever thought about those things that distract us from the Christian life? Can be those things that pull us apart from God forever? And you know what? We often don't think that they're a big deal. They often don't come hit us in the face directly. But what do you do with the kiss of Judas? Of Joab, who with an outstretched hand enjoys the flattery of words? Or of Eve, of the enticement of the apple in the orchard? Or like David, who walks around his rooftop knowing that nobody knows what he's doing. And he commits adultery and he ends up murdering somebody. How do you fix your eyes on Jesus so that you're able to throw those things off? Well, the answer is actually in our text. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus so that you're able to run the race. You see, that fix your eyes is dependent upon that verb run. That fix your eyes on Jesus means to be riveted, to be stargazed, to be awestruck, to be wondered. As two young people in love look at each other and you could offer them the world and you wouldn't be able to break it. Because they're just so in love, they just can't help but stare and look googly-eyed and giggle at each other. And that's what it's like for us and what Jesus wants. He wants us to be so focused that we see the end of the race. Because the hearer in the text would have understood the Olympic language. They wouldn't have noticed you guys over here. I wouldn't notice you guys right in front of me. But the runner would look and he would see the race. He would see the finish line. And there would be nothing he or she would not do in order to get toward that finish line. And for us, that's heaven. But it's only by fixing our eyes on Jesus that we're able to do that. In the book, From Good to Great, they tell about a school that went from being in the top 20 to being a state and a national team every year. They didn't do very much different than any of the other schools, but here's what they did. They began to place people throughout the race, who not only watched times and who watched how many people they passed and who they passed. And what they began to find is that they not only finished their races stronger, they not only finished their practices stronger, but season after season, they began to finish their season stronger. And here's why. Is that they began to learn how to truly run. When everybody had spun out all of their energy, because they had learned how everybody ran, they had learned to run and save the most energy for the end of the race. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hear those who have gone before you cheering you on. Here's what I've come to learn. Focused eyes understand that He gives us all good gifts. When your eyes are focused on Jesus, the things of the world that seek to pull us away and send us down the curves and the twists of life become blurry to us. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you will begin to understand your value to God. And that God has great things in store for your life. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you'll want to spend time with Him. When your eyes are focused on Jesus, you'll learn to love. You'll learn to put the needs of other people before your own. When your eyes are focused on Jesus, you'll realize that He's greater than any circumstance. When your eyes are focused on Jesus, you'll realize that He's not forgotten you. that He will rescue and He will restore. And when your eyes are focused on Jesus, you'll learn to navigate the potholes of life. But even more than that, we get to hear those words. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Take up your inheritance, which has been prepared for you from the beginning of the world. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Do you hear those who have gone before you? Do you hear Noah, who, despite outrageous laughter, who was called to build an ark in the middle of nowhere? He did. And when it was done, he took two of every animal and he brought it on the ark. He brought his family and he did it by faith. By faith. We hear the story of Abraham, who left to go to a foreign land, who followed God, and, well, it didn't make any sense. He and Sarah had children when they were already old. Or Moses, who by faith left his family in Egypt to become like one of his own, who would lead Israel out of slavery and lead them to the promised land. They learned to finish the race, because their eyes were focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of their faith. I want to tell you a story of Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she was going to go from Catalina Island to California. She had already swam the English Strait, and she'd done it both ways. But now she was making this endeavor. It was a foggy day. She could not see anything around her, even the boats beside her. She began to swim, and she had been swimming for 15 hours. The fear of sharks was not there, because they were distracting them with gunshots, so the water was clear. It was only fog that was in her way. And after 15 hours, and yet being encouraged by those in the boat to keep on keeping on, she decided to pull herself out of the water, because she couldn't see the finish line. She got in the boat. She had learned that she was 1 mile from shore. 2 months later, she got back in the boat and she started to swim again. This time, she made it to shore, and she set a speed record for doing it. When asked how she could do it, she said, "Because I could see the finish line." As you open the pages of Scripture, Jesus tells us that the finish line comes to see when you and I get to see the joys and the knowledge and the assurance of heaven. Do you hear it this morning? Keep on running. Keep on running. You can do it. You can do it. Because that's what's coming out in Hebrews chapter 11. Are the saints cheering us on, who, although did not see ultimately what was promised to them, by faith followed, and now enjoy the riches of heaven. But you notice what's not there? What's not there in Hebrews 11 are a few people, because they stopped running. Think of King Saul, who thought it was more important to please people than it was God. The wisest man, Solomon, who ever lived, he was so focused on foreign gods and foreign women. Or Balaam. He had his eyes on the money. In fact, he didn't see an angel right in front of him, and his donkey did. What I want us to think about this morning is this. Is we are going to be told on every angle. This is what you need. Be beautiful. Be rich. Be successful. Be popular. And you'll have made it. Don't get distracted by the idea of the world that the things are temporal or the things that are going to last and really matter. But can I challenge us this morning to focus our eyes on Jesus and to look for the joy of eternity, not only with Him, but to enjoy the fullness of His presence right here and right now. And the more you and I become more like Him, the more holy we're going to become, and the more time we spend more with Him, the more our eyes are going to see the things that God sees. The more we have our eyes focused on Jesus, we're going to love the things that God loves. The more our eyes are focused on Jesus, we're going to do the things that Jesus would do. But how do you do it? You do it by listening. Listening to the stories of those who have gone before us. We do it by throwing off anything that hinders our Christian life. And we do it by having a gaze that is so dead steadfast that nothing is going to get us distracted. And the author and the perfecter of our faith, who not only ran the race, but finished the race, and who ascended into the throne room of heaven, says, not only the saints, but I will be with you to the very end of the age. Let's stay focused on Jesus. And make 2018 the most serious year of our life, where Jesus becomes the highest priority. Let's pray together. Man, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Because it goes so countercultural to everything we've been taught in the world, it is in front of us. We pray that you would enable us by your grace, through the working of your Spirit, O God, to make this year a year that we are serious about studying your word. A year about prayer, a year about surrendering our will, our plans, our desires, our future, our finances, even our own beauty, to whatever you would have that become in our lives. So that we, like all those who have gone before us, could echo in 2018, by faith we were able to, by faith we were able to, by faith we were able to stand. And by faith, we're going to trust. We're going to trust God's working in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would do that not only in our lives, but in community church. That you would continue to unfold and unpack what that is for us and our ministries in our service here in Richmond Hill and what that looks like. And that we would clearly and absolutely know that what we are doing is within your will and your plan and where you want us to be. We're going to pray that not only for us, but for Phil and Janetta as they get ready to go back to Tanzania. We pray that you would just prepare them for that, Lord, as they head back there. We pray that you would not only watch over your travel, Lord, but you would watch over their work. The work that you have already started through them there. The work that is carried on while they were apart. And Lord, the work that you want them to re-engage there. And Lord, I just pray that whatever it is for us this morning that may be hindering us from keeping our eyes on you, that you would remove it from our story. that you would help us to be able to dissect it, take it apart, break it down, remove it from us. That we'd be able to run that race. Even if that race this morning is but a simple walk. Thank you for the saints who have gone before us. And Lord, thank you for Jesus. And I just pray that as we walk, as we trust, as we pray, as we read your word, not as things to do, but because we want to, that you would ignite something beautiful within us. In your name we pray. Amen.